You're just saying words at me.
Yeah. That's our podcast.
I really do feel like I have no idea what I do half this time.
Well, that's our podcast,
that's
right?
That's true.
But also confidence in TTRPGs. Okay.
Confidence.
Hi. Welcome to the proverbial everybody. To our, what's it called? Our presentation. Our
panel?
Panel. Thank you.
This is live.
This is live.
This is live.
In front of a studio audience. Yeah. Today we're going to talk about confidence and your TTRPG. This is essentially kind of going to go over some of the things we've learned over our times of being like a GM, a DM, a player, and being okay with failure. Because I think a big part of it is afraid to make that mistake, right? Afraid to, you know, mess up being a DM. Nobody's going to enjoy my thing that I show off.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to be happy with the product I gave out. Or as a player, am I role-playing enough? Am I doing enough in combat? Things of that sort. And to be honest, it's all going to depend on the people. And having those conversations before can be scary. They're new people. They're not people you know.
Is that what new means?
No. No, it doesn't. It's just finding the right dynamic. Like, I've had to, this last month, I had to interview new players because I had some people leave. Had to interview. I also had to learn how to say, I'm sorry, you can't do it. I'm a very...
How'd that go?
Oh, God.
Just tell me more.
It was... I'm such a soft boy, dude.
I
can't say no to people. It's so hard. But I had to, because there's no way I was going to run an 8-person D&D game.
So what were the qualities that you filtered out just for the anxiety girlies out here?
Oh, like, the qualities?
Yeah, what were you like, no, that's not what's giving.
Okay, so we had one session together. I had to figure out things. People role-playing together well, mm-hmm. people taking RP seriously, and making sure that there was no like immediate conflict. So if you're like first meeting someone and I can see that you're kind of like bumping shoulders a little bit, I was just like, I don't, like, if this is the first like impression, what's going to happen 3 to 4 sessions down where they're feeling more comfortable and whoever that personality coming out and them just like, no, I don't like the way you're doing things. I'm not going to deal with that.
I have that problem right now with so I started the school group, mm-hmm. right? And the kids are great because we're all learning together. So I was very upfront. Like, this is the first time that I'm DMing. I'm sort of frantically always flipping through my notes to make sure I'm doing everything, you know, quote unquote, right? Mm-hmm. But then my other sponsor is like, in the nicest way possible.
Oh, this is not going to be nice.
A dick.
Okay.
Okay, so, like, I probably should have shut the door and not just scream the word dick.
Isn't there, like, a calm, like,
children? There is a children's calm down. That's fine. But, like, definitely is, like, backseat trying to be like, well, maybe we just don't let the kids roll for damage. And I was like, I get that, but, like, we have played 2 sessions at this point. Mm-hmm. They're not going to be fast because they're having to do math. So we already know math is a struggle because these are our kids.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But
Texas kids.
Thanks, Greg Abbott.
It's not their fault. It's
no, we just didn't leave any we didn't leave any children behind when some should have been left behind. So it takes a second and everyone's trying to find their footing. And like, I don't think that means that the children and I'm not enjoying it. But I think he came in with like an idea of what we should be doing and is now trying to like mansplain DMing to me. And I'm like, cool. How about you do this then?
You should have been like, I've had a podcast for 3 years.
I've podcasted about this. And you've only played Baldur's Gate 3. So it's not even right.
They've changed rules for RPG sakes, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But I think definitely going into like, maybe we're not immediately aggressive. Mm-hmm. And then maybe that's like, but that's also like a life thing. So maybe we're not immediately aggressive all the time. Mm-hmm. And especially meeting new people, that's weird. Did somebody really like...
Well, it was a subtle thing.
Assert dominance?
It was a subtle thing. But the thing is, because I only had that one impression, I had to take any subtle hints to the max level because I wasn't going to have a second chance to, like, okay, I don't know. I'm going to get lucky and guess that these people are going to be okay playing with my party. Not the case. I had to take this subtle hint of, like, no, I'm going to do this to heart because if they're all good people. Right?
Yeah.
They're great candidates. I did source them from Reddit, so I also checked their Reddit history.
Oh, what a good idea.
I had to.
Strangers on the internet. Yeah.
One of them had nothing on Reddit. I'm like...
How old was their account?
2-3 years. They had badges in our places. Do you know what that is? Do you know what that is?
Why are you...
Not our places.
It's essentially, these are like tiny little pixels that people can put down, and it makes pictures, and people just kind of fight over space. Okay, now he's good again. And then that's it. That's all they had on their place. So I did no idea. That person didn't show up anyways to the game, so we're good.
Well, yeah, because it wasn't pixels, so...
And then there's this guy.
Uh-oh.
He was in some, like...
What was he in?
Definitely NSFW stuff.
Well, okay, we can't... We have friends.
We do have
also,
friends.
I mean, okay, hold on. That also sounds really vague and, like, weird.
Right, right.
But that's not what I meant. What variety of NSFW do you...
How do I say this to an audience?
Maybe quietly, because the door is still open.
Apparently, it was like...
ASMR into the microphone.
Hey, this is real sexual, really badly, though. In a very uncomfortable way. I'm so sorry. essentially, people were just like, hey, here's my, Bluetooth toy number or something.
Okay, so that's normal. That feels normal.
On Reddit?
Okay. Listen, all I'm saying is that if...
It's fine. It's fine. But...
Were they a part of the toy, or were they wanting to control the toy?
They were controlling.
They were controlling the toy.
Yes.
Okay. I mean, like, listen, I'm not going to yuck somebody's yum.
Well, that's it.
Or, just like any other time, we have very strong opinions.
Get at us.
Get at us. On anything.
On social all the medias. Social medias. Yeah.
Okay.
So that was like, I feel like you have another profile for that stuff, and then another profile for... I'm gonna.
But play then you're just, like, kink-shaming people. Like, should not people come to them, come as they are?
Come, Jesus.
They should just come as they are, you know? I have that, on a completely different tangent.
Jesus, okay.
Confidence. Okay.
Let's get back to the task at hand.
Isn't
that confidence? Yeah,
is that not confidence? Is that not somebody, like, okay, like... We want an authentic version of people, but then when that authentic version is brought up, then we have issues with them, even though they may be in the like, why would you do that publicly? Like, for example, here's where I am relating the story. I like to now scroll through my Goodreads account and like see what everyone else is reading and what everyone else is doing. And I got some friends who, like, I'm not talking about Gabby, okay? I'm not.
Why'd you say a name? Nobody knew until that point.
We knew Gabby. No, we don't. I guess at this point, maybe you've released a couple of our book episodes.
Yeah.
I'm just like, you've put this on your, want to read list.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of monsters in there. So, that's all I'm saying. Like, we are talking with just confidence. Hi, friends. So, maybe not necessarily yucking yum. It's not like, okay, so it's not like you were working with somebody, and I'm not saying you need to go back, right? And
I just think that the people that I had to surround myself with are not, and this is going to be weird for the people who just walked in, aren't sets.
Just for you.
Aren't very like hypersexual beings, so I don't think that they were going to be a good match for my party.
I'm so sorry that you're walking in. This conversation will eventually end.
No.
It's confidence in TTRPGs. I had to
vent to new players, and one of the ways I did was I got these players from Reddit, so I went through their Reddit history, and I was like, okay.
Then he was feeling some type of way about their NSFW.
Yeah. There's got to be a separate account for that. I don't know.
But then we're also talking about authenticity, so like...
And then due to the authenticity, I also need to know that... Is that going to mesh well with my very shy players who like, I want to say half of them are.
I mean, knowing you as a DM, no, that's not going to work well with you. Because as soon as somebody starts to make moves into flirting, you
I back away. I get red.
If you will.
Hey, man.
I'm going to be fired.
Fired?
I'm gonna be fired from this volunteer this is
a
position.
Thing, not a. Anyways. I guess having the confidence to figure out who was appropriate and saying no to them was a tough part as someone who is very much a people pleaser. Because I would love to have everybody join and play games with, but I have to make sure that I'm comfortable with, what, only six players at this point. I can't have eight. I can't have 10. I had to say no to the people that I brought in. And being okay and learning that and going through it, because I think one of my players who was playing with Dave, he was like, ooh, how did that go? Because he knows me. He already knows that I am a soft boy, okay?
You are soft.
He's like, mm-hmm. I'm proud of you, bud. I'm like, thanks, Dad. but yeah, that's essentially what I had to do last month. And now we have two new players, and we're going to see how that goes. It's scary. Adding a new dynamic to the party, being able to be okay with rolling with new punches in people, but I think that's just the learning process of trying to figure out what's going to be good for your party, because I've had a couple times where I said yes to the wrong people. I said yes to everybody. That was the problem. You in particular.
Can we have a new theme song?
Why'd you do that? We're working here. Come on. Business later.
It's a joke.
I know. And being a people pleaser and being like saying yes to everything is not a good way, because the people that you let in might not be beneficial for your party. It might hurt them. It might ruin the chemistry, and people won't want to play that game because this is for fun. This isn't for like butting heads and fighting on your time off. I mean, you just came from work. You don't want to do any more of that.
Says who?
Says most people. Oh, okay. And that
I'm playing D&D wrong.
I want to know your party. I want to know the people you surround yourself with.
That's a lie. If I don't sit in the corner and like, I just made a really aggressive choice. I wonder if they hate me personally because I just said something a little more.
Did you feel like that when you're playing with when I was the DM on that point? Did you feel nervous or feeling like people hated you when you were playing?
So that's a constant feeling. So if we were looking at the audio of my life, there's just like a constant like nagging sound in which I assume that everyone hates me all the time, always.
Mm-hmm.
So part of me getting through playing is like, okay, I'm just going to assume that I don't hate anybody at this table because of their confident choices. So nobody at this table hates me because of my confident choices.
Mm-hmm.
And if they do have a problem, they're going to say something to me because we are all quote unquote adults, and if I have a problem, I will then reciprocate that.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to just like repeat myself that like nobody hates you, and if they have a problem, it's their problem. Because most often when you do have a problem with somebody, it's a triggering within yourself of something that you feel, mm-hmm. and not necessarily that person, right? So I just have to fake it. Mm-hmm. That everyone doesn't really hate me, but yes, I do. I coming on to coming together naturally,
mm-hmm.
Because I did play that very tense moment.
Yes, it was great though. You came in.
I still dream about it. Like that's a pro. Like I'm like, was that too? I have not listened to the episode. I refuse to listen to it because I'm like, what if I hate it? Like, what if I hate it?
Mm-hmm. I mean, you might, but you might not. That's the thing about it. You don't know until you try.
Right. But the other side of that is I don't have enough proof to say that I am bad or I have, like, people who don't like me, right?
I feel like people have told you they like you.
Oh, well, that's irrelevant.
Why? Therapy session. Oh, true.
They could be lying straight to my face just to make me feel good, right? The whole time. They could just be, like...
And people do that. But also... Why? Because they're dicks. I don't know. The front-facing reality of what people show you is going to be the only information you can purposely act on. If they're doing something behind the scenes, you do not know if it's true or not because right. It's just all here. You have to be only what's presented.
Where is my control, though?
Your control is what is given. Hi, yes, sir. You in front.
You live live in a society.
That is true. Thank you very much.
Capitalism hellscape.
Yeah, yeah. What I'm trying to say is that because of the information given and the questionable information behind the scenes, that's uncontrollable. And you have to know that. It's like when I prep a game, I have to know that it doesn't matter what I prep. My players will do whatever the hell they want. They are into what they're into. They want to go fight something, they're going to fight something. They want to RP, they're going to RP. So what if I planned X, Y, and Z? It doesn't matter. I'm there to facilitate fun for them. I'm also trying to have fun. It's always fun for me as a DM to watch them interact with each other without me hand-holding them throughout things, because it's showing that I've built a story and they've built characters good enough for them to play on their own without me constantly saying, and then there's a dragon, and then there's a dungeon, because in the end, we're all just trying to have fun together, right? It's not about, I want to be a Matt Mercer, or I want to be a Brendan Lee Mulligan. It's about, I'm going to make the most fun for the people in front of me. And that's the only people you can kind of control. the people you can kind of interact with. And that's going to be the fun about it. And having that mindset has really helped me, because I think there was a time where I was just like, I'm not as good as XY Dungeon Master. I'm not good enough to kind of say, have a podcast or things like that. Because like, all these other A-list, B-list, C-list celebrities have these Dungeons & Dragons things, and they're just like so much better. But to be honest, as long as I'm having fun with the stuff and the people that I talk with, then everything's okay. Everything's fun. Everything's great. And realizing and releasing that anxiety of the other, the better, makes my life a lot easier. Wait, yes.
No, I agree. And I think that...
You reluctantly agree with those eyes. Thank you.
It's a video... It's an audio podcast only today. Nobody can see my face.
Yeah.
That's all that matters. No, and I can see that a lot of the times when my anxiety goes crazy that it's not helpful for me to come to the game even like that, because... I mean, I may not be the only one feeling that, and we're all playing a game together, and it all's made up, and all the rules are fake, and
it's true.
Even as a DM, like there's no right way to play this game. So even introducing it to, let's say, my students, I don't even have to constantly say like, this is not part of the rules, but like we're gonna do this. Like, who cares? Because if they really do enjoy the game, and they grow up into weird D&D kids and have future podcasts and whatever, then like they're going to realize that the game is made up and that there are no rules and that everything is okay. And maybe teaching that to them now is fine. Like, you're just enjoying it because we enjoy hanging out together. We're just creating a weird story and it's fine.
Yeah.
And maybe that's the lesson we take home at the end of the day.
I feel like this is like an ending of the podcast kind of sentence.
I did just end it.
We have 20 minutes.
No. No.
No, that's fine. I know. I'm not looking at it. Yeah, don't look. I'm sorry. I'm looking at the waveform and what I have to edit later.
No. Wrong.
It's too bad. No. No. Always got to edit, okay? There's so many times.
Always be grinding.
Always be editing. A-B-E, okay? I think there's... What's it called? I've been recently kind of grouped up with a lot of people. Okay, let me... Sorry. What are you thinking? Anyways, this last month, in January, I did a... what was it called? A fundraiser for Dr. Spot Borders with a lot of new creators, a lot of new DMs. And it was a lot of like, I feel like as a content creator, I was like one of the lowest on the rungs. There was a couple people below us, but there was like big creators that have like 20, 30, 100,000, 1 million creations. And I'm like, I'm working with these people. What am I going to bring to the table? And to be honest, it was kind of crushing for a bit. But I realized like, it doesn't matter as long as I'm helping Doctors Without Borders, as long as I'm bringing eyes to the conflict, and eyes to the charity drive, it's okay. Any bit helps. Me posting about it, me running some streams about it, anything is going to help. It's more than if me doing nothing, right? So I was able to kind of, I guess, with my friends, raised around $500 with just my stuff, but like overall, $25,000 with everybody's combined efforts, which is great stuff. And if I wasn't there, and if I wasn't producing, that's $500 less that would have been there. But you have to give yourself more credit. You're not going to reach the amount of people like the other creators are, but still, doesn't mean every creator is known by every person. You being there, you talking about, you know, with your friends, your family about the things that are going on will help you be more confident in, you know, wanting to kind of, I guess, advertise yourself better, more. And then I think about myself like, okay, if I was more confident in being a creator and advertising more, I would be able to raise more funds. Because like I do this almost like once a year as a fundraiser. So if I was more advertising and doing all these things, I would be better. But I also need to...
But who's to say that would happen either?
True. I'm not worried about that.
No. And I agree. No. But what I'm saying is, like, sure, you can also start talking like, okay, I could do more and I could make steps, but forward progress is still forward progress.
Right.
But if I, then I could even swing it in the other way, right? Like, what if it was worse? Like, that's still fine. So, like, I think being happy with whatever you are creating, mm-hmm. Is like the title of today. It's just being,
true. Yeah.
And the confidence is just being happy that you are doing something, and it doesn't have to be good, and it doesn't have to be bad, and it doesn't have to be anything. It just, the creation in itself is what matters.
Yes.
The friends we made along the way.
You know what? I just watched something that I was like, I swear to God, if this is the end of the storyline, I'm going to scream. And it was something silly. Oh, it's Diablo 3.
What?
In my opinion, Diablo 3's storyline, the main, like, I've never played Diablo, so, like, let me, never done any of that. But that's the storyline, okay?
There's a lot of trauma there.
Is that the theme? Because that, I'm playing that right. I'm playing Baldur's Gate 3 the correct way if it's just the friends we made along the way. They're very good friends, though. That's true. But they are very good friends.
They all love each other so much.
I love all of them so much.
I know you do. You're screaming at me. And you're like, I don't know what to choose. This vampire is coming on to me.
We need to...
All of them come on to you.
Yes, that is true.
I had Gale come on to me, and then I was like, no, that's so weird, dumb. Like, I don't like Gale. And then, I know, I'm about to fix this, right? And then I was on the TikTok, and then saw, like, how Gale treats you, and I was like, oh, shit. I made a bad choice.
My first run through, I ignore Gale and Halsin, and they both left me by Act 2.
No.
Halsin deserves a good game.
It was just a choice. It was like, I don't want to do anything else other than these three characters in my party. That's all I want to talk to. And then maybe another run through, I'll get new three characters. And I didn't realize I'd hurt their feelings. And now I'm the bad guy.
You are the bad guy.
But I won, though.
But I didn't realize until you and I talked that Shadowheart is a hard person to get. And I had, she was like, come. And I was like, no, I'm fine. Thank you. And now I'm like, oh, but, is that invitation still open? What?
Oh, no. Okay. I was just wondering. I was wondering where you were.
Yeah, no. Because she was like, hey. And I was like, oh, no. I'm going to go.
Sorry.
I gotta.
My boyfriend's watching.
My boyfriend's over there in the corner, and I'm so sorry. And then now I'm like, oh.
But maybe. Yeah, Withers.
If I could, I would.
Oh. I mean,
this is
not. I'm with you.
It's not just me.
Withers is your goal, right?
Withers. I mean, like, we don't know what's going on over there. Okay, we just need to find out.
Confidence.
He could always bring me back from the dead, so like and maybe if then I romance him, I don't have to pay the 200 gold.
Why are you paying 200? Is it 200?
200.
Oh, I thought it was 100.
Is it 100?
What am I playing?
What am I doing?
What are you doing? 200? Oh my gosh.
I don't know numbers.
We're in two different economics.
I'm just calculating. I don't I have I'm autistic. I don't know.
Thanks. Eddies? We're not playing the right game. I'm playing Hello Kitty Island Adventure.
This was an episode about tabletop RPGs, and then now it turned into...
It is.
Oh, okay, technically, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
What?
Here?
We're in the wrong convention.
Here? Right now?
The nerd convention?
Holy crap. What are we doing?
Get out. Yeah, let's bring it to the audience. Any questions about confidence, anything we didn't hit over our incessant rambling?
Who did you romance in Baldur's Gate 3?
Yeah.
Shadow. The Emperor.
Yep.
How is that?
He was the best.
Hell yeah.
The Emperor.
I did that scene in Reloaded. I just wanted to see what happened.
Thank goodness.
No spoilers, but...
Tentacles.
It's cars all over again.
It is cars all over again.
Okay, so I could keep my options open. Because listen, I have like a dumb amount of hours on it, but I have not cracked Act 1.
That was level 10.
Okay, thank you. I told somebody, and I was like, I'm still in Act 1, and they were like, but you have, like, 25 hours on it. I was like, I need you to...
25 hours is not a lot
I, like,
time
wanna, like, one. I want to, I wanna enjoy it. And he was like, no. And I was like, I don't...
It's okay, when you go back on a second run, you'll see stuff you missed the first time. Spike any whole time.
Yep.
I have to play this game confidently and not with the anxiety that it's never going to happen again. What?
Mithara.
I just saw so many things happen all at once that I have no idea. No?
Probably not, if you're looking at me like that. Yeah, no.
I'm trying to help my mushroom friends.
You're way past that, then. I didn't know that was an option.
My wife has Mithara, and I was like, I've never seen any of this stuff.
I don't know who this person is.
She's the drow.
Yeah, I know. But when I was playing, I'm like, who is this person in this cutscene? They're playing a very different game than I am.
I mean, they told me to kill her in my game, so I did.
Yeah, exactly.
And I found out she's the ranger you can get laser tunnel.
Oh, is that the first one? Okay, so listen, I went in and I just went pow pow and like didn't interact, didn't have any. I just saw her from afar, and someone said, shoot, and I said, got you.
So that's the way you play tabletop, too?
Sometimes, yes.
You make them a character? Shoot.
You know, okay, I don't know if we talked about it with the kids.
No.
So I started a TT.
Piece.
Okay. So in my storyline today, but not in this recording, I started a TTRPG. We have to call it Labyrinths and Tigers because our mascot is the Tigers, but we can't say Dungeons because...
Because Texas.
Because some children should be left behind. They grew up into adults and then procreated and still couldn't figure out. But we'll let these kids watch Squid Games.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Anyways.
They love capitalism.
Oh my god,
they love capitalism.
So I started this, originally had 10 players, because once again, I can't say no, and these little kids look at you and they're like, but we want to play. And I'm like, oh, okay. And then I gave them their little, like, scroll. I only have 4 players, if that tells you how.
How it went?
Yeah, how that went.
It happens.
And then an adult. I have 4 kids and an adult. There was a story to that, and I lost it. Oh, okay, so we started whatever, Dragons of Stormwreck Island, which I have next to me in case I got bored. In my own panel.
That is weird. That's a weird thing to plan for.
I don't know if we had it. I don't know if it might be. Okay.
Continue. I'm literally right here, and I feel offended. Please stand or sit over there now.
So we got through a couple of sessions of like, okay, this is how you mechanically play. These are all things. And then I was like, okay, let's introduce like the main quest giver. Like, let's put you on the island, and then you're going to take your next steps. And the kids were like, fucking shocking grasp. And I was like, no! Are you sure? And they were like, yes. are you sure? We've had a conversation that, like, there were dragons on this island. Are you sure you want to mess with this? And they were like, I hit her in the head. Okay. So we had a, like, that was my first moment of, like, okay, you guys are just going to do whatever you want to do, and I'm just going to have to just stand by and just watch and have to very creatively think quickly.
That's DMing, baby.
DMing
right there. Bread and butter. They're going to do whatever they want. You got to roll with the punches.
Oh, my God. Level one, they were like, we're going to murder her.
They don't know. They don't know. They don't know any better. Forgive them, for they do not know what they do.
You don't have no second characters, right?
Yeah, pretty much. I don't know if I could have that conversation with the young ones.
They're, yeah.
I don't know how young. I forget.
You know, you're right. They're like third, no, not third graders. I have mostly fourth graders because I was like, I can keep this for long term, right? So like, if I do the fourth graders this year, then I can do fifth graders. Like they'll stay and I can stay fifth graders, which will only be that much more heartbreaking when they graduate and they leave and go to middle school. Mm-hmm. But I'm definitely going to be fine.
You're never fine.
I'm never fine.
Yeah, but keep psyching yourself out. I believe in you.
You're going to be fine when the children.
The gaslighting on yourself is amazing.
I love teaching. It's the best profession in the world. Except they leave, like, and they grow, and they just grow mustaches or whatever. Because anyways, yeah, they just murder. Like, I don't know what to do.
That's what me. That's you. That's your eternal
that
monologue.
I just left him in the yes.
So with older players, you can get this kind of a social contract where you say, like, okay, I bought the Dungeons of Ice Spire Keep or whatever it is, and we're going to play that. And you get your, you know, 20, 30 somethings to play that. But with younger players, you can't get them to buy into the, you know, I paid $20 for this. We have to play this because that's what I have prepped. What do y'all think about that?
I think that's, I feel like, okay.
Girl boss gatekeep. Gaslight. So for my, I can see, so for my immediate response, right, I got a donation through Wizards of the Coast to bring D&D to my campus. So on that part of it, I'm like, people paid money for you to play this, so enjoy. But I think having the, like, starting to have that, like, real adult conversation of, like, hey, this is what I have prepped, and, like, I'm new here, so if we go too much off base, like, I really don't know what to do. Like, I honestly don't. And I know we've had the conversations in the past where, like, hey, you've done something wild and crazy. I was not prepared for it. Let me take a couple minutes and loop around and see what I can create out of this, and we can have, like, a conversation, because it is, at the end of the day, a story where we're all combining our pieces, and if your piece is just a little too much for me, I think that's still okay for me to have that conversation of, like, it's too much, because I am but a butterfly in this hellscape, and I don't know what to do with it. I don't know what you would – what would you do?
Well –
Spring break?
I think the...
A screaming break, yes. Yes.
I think that I haven't had the opportunity to play with younger players. The idea of, like, oh, I bought this, if you don't say it, they don't know. So I've had that happen with older players where they're just like, I'm going to do something else. And I'm like, geez. To be honest, I think it was like one of my first foyers of, like, trying to figure out what to do if they don't follow the book. I'm like, stop. And then I just read, and I'm like, there's nothing in here. There's nothing in here. I think once I had finally had that happen so many times where, like, wait a minute, this thing's a guideline. This isn't, like, the ultimate thing. Like, it can help you. You can follow it to a T. But there's going to be some questions they're going to ask that don't happen on the book. Like, they don't know this information. But to be honest, maybe they should know this information. Or, like, I don't like how this character's portrayed. I think this should happen. You buy it to supplement your story. You can play your, what's called, Curse of Strahd so many times without, like, feeling like, I know, I just brought it up again.
I was wondering, because you were touching it, you were footing it.
Sort of. So, Curse of Strahd, I had to make it different because I had one player who had played through the whole thing. And I was like, I need to make this different for him. I want to be able to create something that's unique. You know, you can play your Strahd a different way. You can bring in characters that don't exist in the book, and you can make things wildly different than what they experienced through their first foyer into Curse of Strahd. And that's how I've been running my sessions, even if it's book sessions. If they go off the rails, I am always ready because it keeps happening. It doesn't stop happening when they just go off the rails. But I'm excited to make up something on the fly now. I want to say like 5 years ago, I would have been so stressed. I would have been, to be honest, a little angry and upset because like I'm not being able to give what I need to do and they're messing it up and things like that. I had a large ego about what was going on, to be honest. But I've got like, okay, I need to understand that what they do is in their character's interest and what they want to do, which is they want to have fun, right? That's what they want to do. So why should I stop that? Because it's not in the book. So I've learned that even if I buy this nice $60 book, doesn't mean I'm going to use all $60 of it. A lot of it's going to be me rolling with the punches. It's a nice guideline, but in the end, it's up to me to make sure that what they want to do is have fun. I know that there's a lot of like talk about like, well, the Dungeon Master's player too. Yes, the Dungeon Master should have fun as well. I think because it's a group thing. It's not like a one person being miserable for the enjoyment of everybody else just slaving away. Like, my fun is your fun at the end of the day, at least from my perspective. But I think that you have to be able to understand that nothing's going to be perfect. Nothing's going to be by the book.
Okay. Some people just want to stay in Act 1 for forever.
That's fine. That's all. You can just play Act 1.
I just wanted to make sure I knew it was getting
start
everything.
Start up a new save.
I just wanted to get everything done, okay? Like, I want it all.
Yeah, no, that's perfectly fine. I miss somebody. I played, like, a third time with my friends, and they're like, look at this. I'm like, who the hell is this person? I spent 200 hours in my first playthrough. Why is there a new person here?
And I think, I mean, but that also goes into, like, how I think how we're playing and how we're approaching DMing. Like, mm-hmm. I want to get everything out of it that I can in the first playthrough, or I want to get everything out of it I can in this first chapter. And I know, like, I look over at my thing, it's just staring at me. I want the people at my table to have fun. I want to have fun as well, but I think part of my need to grow area is that, like, it's going to be fine. Like, we're mm-hmm. all human. We are all trying, and we're all doing our best.
Right.
And maybe because that one thing didn't go perfectly, or I wasn't fast enough to do something clever, because I like being clever, right? I like that, like, ooh, I put these two jigsaw puzzles together on the fly. But I think that is something that I have to remember on my off days when I'm not in the game. Like, okay, this is how I can connect this piece into it. Or this is the first – so weird thing. Mm. This is the first time that I actually think Cornell note-taking is okay. So the degrees part of our podcast, right, was that formerly I was an academic advisor and talked about academic studying and all the skills that it takes to be a student. And I was like, I hate Cornell note-taking because I think it's stupid. I think it's a waste of time. It's a waste of paper. And, like, I'm never going to go back and reread these notes when that's what you should do. Especially when – if you handwrite notes – this is like I'm talking to like four people. If you handwrite notes, I've started to like fold my paper in half, and then I have all of my like chapter guides, all the things that I like need to remember from the book itself. And then on the other half of the paper, I've started taking notes of like, okay, these are what came to me in game. These are the things that I thought. These are the pieces that my players are now like putting together. So now I'm not like going flipping back and forth. I'm like getting a real time view of what's going on.
This is what I prepped. This is what happened.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Legitimately. And then I can take like all of my. Please don't look at my.
It's too late.
This is what happens when kids just leave it. I don't have a kid name on here. Good. But, like, it made it, and I don't have to necessarily, like, use the whole paper, but, like, I can do our little, like, they copped out of there. They were like, no, we're not going to do this. And I was like, cool. So we tried, and then it didn't work. But it is nice, and I don't feel like I'm wasting paper of, like, I'm having to fill up this whole thing, and then I have to skip through. So call me a changed person in the Cornell note-taking for D&D.
That's a lot of words. I'm not going to call you that.
That's fine. She brought it out for a reason.
Yeah.
It was used. The prop was used. Thank you.
Gallagher.
Now I pull out a watermelon.
Wow. Splash some.
You scooted up closer to be with us.
This was a trap. yeah, no, that's all good. I still am bad at note-taking. That's why I took 6 years to finish college.
No, that's not necessarily the note-taking issue.
Why? I don't know what you're talking about.
I stand by the fact that you tried to add a mathematic minor when you were already just struggling through school, and then you were like, no, I want to take 3 years of calculus. No, you're not.
I thought I could do it, and after 3 failures, it didn't work out. So I said, nah, maybe math minor ain't for me. You learn, okay? Sometimes you're confident in the wrong direction.
Men.
The friends.
Along the way?
It's the friends along the way.
Yeah.
I need that to quit being the story of the life, though. I'm telling you. Diablo 3, that's the storyline.
Listen, okay? I don't remember Diablo 3.
My he didn't stop. He, like, stops and he's like, you made all these people. I'm like,
it was a cop out.
But, like, I'm not...
I wasn't mad about it.
Yeah.
But then I thought about it and I was mad about it.
Yeah. And the whole time, I'm, like, I'm talking to a friend, I'm, like, the whole time I'm, like, playing through, and he was, like, I didn't get all this when I played through. And I was, like, yeah, but you're also, like, a dude. Like, a dude. You're not, like, a bi-wife energy dude. You're, like, a dude. And I was, like, I'm not mad at Lilith. Like, I'll let her go. Let her go. Let her do whatever she wants to do. What's wrong with it? And then I'm not gonna spoil it.
It's gonna be the DLC that's the real story. Is it the ending you want?
We just didn't need to kill her. I didn't need to kill her. Just let her go. I probably need a different game. That's probably what we're learning, is that I didn't need to be on the side of.
I mean, you haven't finished BG3. You have another game.
I do.
I've been playing Helldivers, and it's super. Democracy, capitalism, USA coded.
Starship Troopers.
Yeah, I'm doing my part. Yeah. Every game, that's at least said 10 times we play.
It's the one joke.
I'm not. I just gotta fuck around.
I've never played it, but I've been reading the TikToks.
Yeah.
And it hits me how everybody's talking like this, and I'm like, you don't have the media literacy to understand what is happening.
I know it's a joke. I fear that a couple people don't know it's a joke.
Just a couple? All of them probably don't know.
No, I'm all of them, though. I'm all of them. Stop it.
They're kids. We just educate the kids.
Yeah, exactly.
You see the video of the robot looking off into the distance into, like, a beautiful sunset. And there's another one where, like, the robot doesn't want to shoot a guy. He's like, the last one left, he's like, I don't. And then his friend comes and just bodies him.
And everyone in the comments, from the one guy's perspective, is like, that guy's a traitor because he didn't shoot. Everyone in the comments is just flooding it. And also the people, like the literal, the Super Earth account has like, what's it called? Somebody like at the very end killed all their allies and jumped
Gans
on the ship.
Man. That's huh? The name, Gans. I just saw
the Gans Destroyer or something like
Gans
that.
The man.
And then the, what's it called? The Super Earth account said, be on the lookout. There's 10,000 super credit bounty on his head. I'm like, these guys are getting social media better, and it's scary. but yeah, that's my game right now.
Okay.
Confidence. I'm doing confident. My part. Proudly shouting democracy, even though there is no democracy here. It's good roleplay. Yeah. Yes.
So the question kind of bring it back to a talk.
Thank you.
Sorry.
I'm doing our job. Thank you. You're doing your part.
Small job, but
thank you, Susan.
So, you know, you covered the what to do when players kind of wander off script.
Mm-hmm.
You either improv or you guide back, one of the two. There's gentle feedback that some of the Wizards books may have gaps in them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What? No. Wizards of the Coast is a wonderful company that definitely learns from their wrongdoing and
they're a small
growth.
Independent company.
Yeah, small.
The
yep.
AI mistake happened only 2 to 3 times.
Oh my God.
Is it the same general skills to fill in those gaps? Like, there is no way for the players to figure out this NPC is who's going to guide them to the MacGuffin. So, you know what, though? They didn't go to the inn. They went to the bathhouse. The bathhouse NPC is the one that's going to give them the inn. Is it the same kind of skills?
I'm trying to fully understand. So, like, the skills...
I guess improv-ing to...
So, rather than going to the thing that's written, like, how would you bridge the gap between, like, you need to meet the storyline, the story quest giver in the inn, but you guys have fucked around. Not as a child walks by. You guys have fucked around in the bathhouse for 45 minutes. Like, you just find the dude in the corner. Like,
that guy has to take a rest sometime in
that
the bathhouse.
Now
why not? What's it called? I think I always like to think that my story is always breathing. So if they miss that guy is not there anymore. They're going to be in the next spot because I need to make sure if I don't have an idea of, like, this is going to be the quest giver and I can transfer it to another person. If I don't have someone ready that can be transferred, that guy is now transferred over there. It is definitely just improv, those skills. And just being okay to roll with the punches consistently.
I'm going to throw another idea out that if you – then you can fuck with your people, right? So, like, let's say you've given them a couple of, like, hooks that they have never grabbed onto, and maybe they, like, half grabbed onto something. Then maybe at some point that's when you're like, you should have checked this other thing that I was heavily encouraging you to go to, and you didn't, and now it's going to bite you in the butt. Like, that's then a fun way to, like – gaslight your players
to be more attentive.
Oh yeah,
I did that. What's it called, they were supposed to help out somebody for materials, and like, oh, just come back, I trust y'all.
Yeah,
he shouldn't have trusted them. The party just never came back, and so somebody playing his other character went down to that same, like, town.
Yeah,
gone.
Yep.
Doesn't exist anymore.
The kids have not murdered, they did not murder all the zombies they were supposed to. They just, like,
what, they have a pet or something?
I mean, they weren't really doing anything, and they were bored. And so they were like, all right, like, they're all falling down because somebody threw the
Pokeball.
Grease. No, somebody threw grease. Yeah, a Pokeball. And then, like, I just kept rolling, and then I was like, okay, fine. Like, and then the girl who's, like, sort of the leader, which is interesting also to see people who are not usually in leadership roles immediately step into, like, the person in charge, which is really cool working with children, right? Because they're very rarely given that opportunity to, like, go and be in charge. So she was just like, I'm done. Like, I'm just gonna go. So absolutely later on, since they didn't murder all of the zombies, they're gonna come back. I don't know how they're gonna come back, but they're gonna come back. And so,
or find out how close they get every night.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's another thing. And, like, also recognizing the level that your players are playing at.
Mm-hmm.
So if they are trying to play a very complex mind game, then throwing in some complex mind things to do. But if they are playing a lower level.
Not as abstract.
Yeah, a tier 3, if you will.
I don't know.
just the, you know those kids.
Four-star
mentor? You were one of those kids. Just kidding. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Then sort of meeting where your players are, you know, giving them the easy maze versus giving them the hard maze.
I've done that before.
I know. I was a part of one of those games.
I thought it was easy. It's not easy.
No.
I think puzzles are such a pain.
Because we spelled something out, and I was like, there's not enough vowels here to spell anything out. There were enough vowels. I just couldn't think of the word. But there's also something about working with, like, 5 other people that you're like, somebody else is gonna carry this mental load, and it's not me. And so I just, like, sat there, and I was, like, trying to anagram it out, and I was like, no, it's not me. I don't I don't. Did you give it? I think you gave it to us. I think you didn't.
Yeah, I mean, we
you
were
just
spending,
let us struggle for a while.
Yeah, it was too long. I think because you guys were bringing in new potential, like, because I was thinking in one vein of thought, like electricity and lightning. You guys were using it as an L, and I was using it as an E. So I'm like, oh no, we're gonna be here for a long, long time. Because when you're puzzle making, there has to be an absolute answer, and if there's any wiggle room, they will think of that other answer. And you're like, at some point, you're just like, you know what? That's correct. I think that's good enough. I can't say no because it took you 30 minutes to solve this, and that is on me, and I will take that L.
Yep. I think I've had another game where, like, it was beautiful. It was very well written, and we had to, like, crack open a quill, and the quill had, like, ink in it, and that was supposed to go in a bowl, but we couldn't figure out that the quill could be cracked open like a pen, and he just let us struggle there. He just, like, oh, you, like, write on that thing, and it, like, the ink goes into the bowl, and you're like, cool, and you're like,
cool, nice information.
What else do I need to do with it? And at no point were we like, just break it. So sometimes it is just let the kids struggle. That's okay. Just let them.
I think it's okay to let them flounder around because you got to learn to understand that you did not prep this well, and there is a human aspect to puzzle making that is not indicative to the game. Like, you can probably, like, roll intelligence and give them hints, but for, like, a D&D-esque, anything knowledge-wise you could roll. But beyond that, it's like, your characters are these great wizards. They are being tricked by a child's puzzle. It's like, you gotta know that, like, okay, well, maybe I need to put the mechanics in this a little bit more. Even though it's nice and fun to do a puzzle and, like, realize it yourself, they came to play this game. Maybe we should just focus on this game sometimes. I freaking love puzzles. I just know that.
I know you like puzzles.
It's not for everybody.
Mm-mm. I need them tangible in front of me, so playing online does not make it a suitable place. So I need them I need the paper.
I think online play and table play are very different.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and those are very different skills. And
yeah, especially with talking because there's a delay. The people I play with, they don't put cams on, so it's like we can't read people's, like, their body language. And people are running over each other, trying to get things going. I try my best to facilitate it, but I had to, like, sit down with my players, I think, like, 2 months ago, just like, hey, this is getting a problem. We're getting nothing done. We need to, like, realize people are talking. We need to take turns. I know this is, like, just talking to, like, the children, but, like, sometimes we need a refresher on some, like, basic skills every now and then.
You will hold the talking stick, and then you can pass the talking stick.
Seriously,
and
need that.
I mean, that has to be kind of a cool aspect to like, play. Like, maybe it is, like, every 30 seconds, like, challenging your players to be like, okay, it's your turn. Like, it's your spotlight.
Mm-hmm.
But you only have the 30 seconds to get the stuff that you need done, and then it's going to flip over to the next person. So maybe that, like, quick thinking.
It's always initiative.
See, I was thinking, like, Here's the person who wants to talk. Anybody else who wants to talk in this area, go ahead and roll initiative. And then it doesn't matter what your initiative, just go down the line and we'll kind of hit your story points or what you want to talk about in that manner. I mean, I'm trying my best right now to think of creative ways. All I'm thinking is, like, I need to code something for Discord at this point. Like, talking stick. And then just, like, currently this player has a talking stick. Everybody else is muted now.
It'd be fun to do that as, like, a roulette too. So maybe it's just, like, a random.
Oh jeez, so much coding.
I know. Sorry, I have no idea how to code. Listen,
I'm learning.
I can barely read.
Yes, that'd be so nice.
Like a Russian roulette mute.
Russian roulette, kick out a server.
I'm too chaotic to want to, like, play with children too. Like, I'm like, just mess up this. Like, I was really excited that they were trying to kill the quest giver, but, like, also, I don't have anything planned, and I'm also not very confident as the DM right now. But I was like, yeah, do it too. Get it down with the authority, and then.
Somebody dies, the same person comes.
It's a good idea. Which is like the same. Yeah. She just comes back to life.
All right. We've got, how long do we have the room for, by the way?
No say.
They didn't tell us it's in time.
It's probably an hour.
Yeah.
They let us go over.
They let us, yeah.
Gotcha.
They didn't really stop us from stuff ourselves. All
right. That power is too much. That's too great of a power.
Let's round up, see what questions we have left.
Anything? Anybody? Best yes. time?
Oh, my gosh. I'm not invited to any of these games. These games? Friday that's game. Sure. It's always been going on. Also, I don't have you on Discord anymore. I don't know. Did you change your name or anything? Okay.
He unfriended you and said, fuck this dude. I heard it.
And other than that, my other game. Do I have another game?
I play with children.
That guy's like a child.
No, not a like a child. It is child. It is.
I know.
Not like a child. Children.
Because I have childlike joy.
We are talking to David Puga, just for those of you who are listening online. Like, it is a person that we, not that y'all are not potential friends, not that, but David has been on our podcast.
A friend
of the show, only talking about the worst of our nation's struggles.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
There's like
that.
A whole two-ass part episode.
Yeah, we talked about capitalism.
Two cheeks of an ass by capitalism.
You haven't learned your lesson with the children running by? Anyways, there's no children right now. I'm just pointing it out.
I'm an educator.
Yes, you are. And a great educator you are to our society. We salute you. You're doing your part.
That's how I'm doing it. Yes.
When I first started running one of my first D&D games, it was the Dragons of Stormarkisle, and I went on a Facebook group and got a number of, most of them were new people, and I was really scared because I had only DM'd a couple things before, and these were all new people I had never met, and we had done like a session zero, and it was terrifying, but I had two of the new people message me after a couple of the games, and they were like, hey, thank you so much. You got me into D&D. I'm now in the game in my town, but like you initiated my love for this. And I think that's where my confidence as a DM came from. So that was really nice.
Yeah, no, it is so scary.
So just be nice to people. Like, tell people that you love them and tell people that they're doing a good job. And
show them your enjoyment of what you're doing. If you put that into the game you're playing and you have evidence, it'll show on to other people and they'll share that joy that you have,
and they'll pass it on, and then they'll get three people in, and then they'll get three people in, and then it becomes, I don't know, a pyramid.
That's like it's a pyramid.
It doesn't make any money though.
unless you want to give me money,
Hasbro,
then I'm down with that.
Gets all the money.
Hasbro, no.
Has been
hotel.
Oh, I don't know that.
You don't know that one? Okay,
not yet.
No.
I want to start it.
I have differing opinions in this audience. Yeah, there's a thumbs up and there's a yes and there's a...
There's a no.
I tried. Was not for me.
Was it not for you? Why is it not for you?
I tried the YouTube and I tried the show.
Yeah.
It's just... I don't know. It's too much of itself. Does that make sense?
Is it? No.
I like it.
No, is that...
It just seems like some people thought Rick and Morty was really cool and I learned
I love it. I love all of it.
Who looked at Rick and Morty and said, I want more?
Me for three seasons. and then fourth season, and then I got tired. I am a problem.
You are a problem.
I am a problem.
The new seasons are like ripping down everything from the previous stuff.
It is what it is, man.
I like the subversive stuff now. Of
course I do. All
right. Well, I don't know.
Wrap it up. Anything else?
Where else can we see you?
Thank you.
Thank you, dear listener, for joining us on another
episode.
I'm so sorry. Specifically, if you just really enjoy the chaos that I personally, you can find me on the internet at Eloquent Mime. literally on anything. If you particularly want to see chaos that I spread in my classroom, I'm Miss Sonia McKinnon on the Instagram. We did have a beautiful photo shoot of first grade paintings in which I forgot that we needed to specifically teach children how to draw hearts.
You should pull up that video.
Those,
It's so good.
You just... So, like, when you take a piece of paper and you fold it in half, so we're talking about symmetry, and you don't specifically tell first graders that they need to start down, go up, and then, like, around, like, they need to start in the heart shape, they try to draw a diamond. Now, let's add this with an overlay of Valentine's Day, pinks and whites and reds. Paint, and so when they close the paper and they open back up, it's a diamond shape in pinks and whites and reds.
Cavernous.
It is cavernous, in which then you're like, oh yeah, that's going to be for your family. And then you look at it and you're like, I'm going to get fired.
I'm going to get canceled.
Somebody's going to get really mad about this, but then maybe not.
Amazing.
Yeah, all social medias is Eloquent Mime, specifically teaching stuff. I don't know, just art stuff. It's weird. Not weird.
You chose this.
I did.
I guess I'll go. Currently, I have Twitch Dungeons and Degrees. I do a Friday game. It's where I get most of my stories about what's been going on when I do on my podcast. And then I also have just AC Lawrence 24, which is just me doing prep and other stuff. And I'm going to be doing a lot more in the kind of like diversity in TTRPGs and why it's necessary. Because there's a lot of people who say, I don't get it. Why?
Why more diversity?
Why more diversity? I don't get it. Everything's fine. Yeah, but
I play a drone.
I would like to see different things because I would like to know different stories and different perspectives, and it's so great to have those stories that aren't just bread.
palm shaded people.
It's fine. I just want. Listen, I got super excited when I saw Carlos Luna in Dimension 20 play cheese, okay? I got really excited, okay? I don't know why. It's probably because he looks
like
me.
Because we love Carlos Luna.
We also love Carlos Luna. So, like, I want to talk about that, but people are like, I don't get it. And I'm like, it's not for other people to get when other people feel like they're represented in media. It's not you to say, no, that doesn't make sense. It's for you to... Anyways, I'm going to do a whole... freaking video on that, because people are like, don't understand, and they need to be broken down, and also they're gonna call me racist or whatever. Anyways, that's just how it goes. But I'm ready.
I like that soapbox.
Soap?
Well,
I forgot to bring your soap, by the way. I'm so
you
sorry.
You did. Yeah. I was gonna explain it, but
so,
it's not.
In my panel, I forgot to give out stickers.
Yeah. Just put them out here. We have stickers. We have this dice. We have pens. We have pencils.
I want a sticker.
Oh. It's from Dust City.
That's awesome.
Oh my god, they're so cool.
I like it. But yeah, thank you so much for coming.
You can also find all of the Dungeons and Degree stuff on the YouTube and
the podcastings.
Wherever pods are cast. But yes, we also do YouTubes. YouTubes are also video, so if you really do like watching people have real conversations in real life.
If you want to see her turn
go
to Emily Graymore's episode. It's the second one. Oh my gosh, it's so funny. Go watch it.
What's that?
YouTube/ Dungeons and Degrees, I think.
No.
Dungeon and Degrees.
Dungeon.
There's no S.
There's one dungeon. It's an N.
The letter N.
Degrees. And then degrees. Multiple degrees. One dungeon, multiple degrees, with an N. It's fine.
Yeah.
Is that it?
Yeah, that's it. Thank you so much.
Yeah!
Y'all been great. Thank you for coming in. More of that is online. But yeah.
Into the episode, we didn't do our tagline, or it was cut off. But I just wanted to say thank you all for listening. This is our in-person convention episode. If you think, hey, they should come do an episode over here in my neck of the woods, well, just let us know. We'll see what we can do. Make sure it's ahead of time, and we can get all things prepared. But yeah, thank you all so much for listening. We've been Dungeons & Degrees, and go have some fun.